For any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer, David Scorpio, Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Welcome, everyone, to the event, the epic weekly merging of the Wisdom Circle Studio A with the Raw Deal Studio B. I'm one of your co-hosts, Giuseppe Vaffangulo. Professor Jim Fetzer has just arrived in a nick of time with his busy schedule. And David Scorpio, it appears, is MIA. I know he was on a personal mission on a road trip, and we thought he might make it back in time. And we're joined also by our honored guest from across the pond in England, a key member of the Sunday Wire, Patrick Henningsen's team, Basil Valentine. But first, Jim, how are you?
Oh, terrific, Giuseppe. I'm just delighted to be here and to have Basil as our guest. I'm fascinated to get his impression of what's going on in America, the latest absurdity in Chicago, namely the Jussie Smollett trial, where Jussie is persisting in his innocence when we're confronted with overwhelming evidence that this was an elaborate charade, 2 a.m. in the morning, a couple of guys in masks were supposed to assume they were rednecks. They turned out to be two Nigerian bodybuilders, one of whom was Jussie's personal trainer, another an extra on the set of Empire, where Jussie was an actor. And we're supposed to believe they were wandering around Chicago on the coldest night of the year carrying a bottle of bleach with a frozen solid and a noose looking for a black gay actor coming out of a subway. I mean, it's absurd beyond belief, but Jussie insists that's the way it happened. Basil.
I haven't been following it particularly closely, Jim, but I gather there may be a link to Kamala Harris, that she was in touch with Jussie. I wouldn't want to say she encouraged this or condoned it in any way, but it certainly helped feed into this largely phony, you know, white supremacist, white nationalist being the biggest threat to the, quotes, homeland narrative.
So Basil, it's much worse than that. It turns out that Jussie appears to be Kamala's nephew. Jussie had been out campaigning for Kamala. Kamala had a bill before the Senate that no one thought was necessary, an anti-lynching bill. So that after this stunt occurred, she immediately declared this was a modern-day lynching. Unbelievable.
Right. I you know, the whispers are that they might try and ditch her before the next election. Apparently, she's a nightmare to work with, so say her staffers. Arrogant, aloof, and incompetent all rolled into one. I can well believe it. I mean, the US has had some pretty bad veeps in the past. One thinks of Dan Quayle and, you know, assorted others, but Kamala must surely take the biscuit.
Oh, I think you got that right. The worst vice president in history. Give us an inkling of what issues from across the pond do appear to be most relevant in the eyes of the British.
Well, you know, unfortunately, as I was just saying to Giuseppe in the build-up. There's still very largely only one show in town. It's just a question of kind of where we are with it. It's this never-ending soap opera of you-know-what. Now, the latest from the UK is quite complicated. It has emerged in recent days that there was apparently a party held at number 10 Downing Street 12 months ago, a Christmas party during the so-called lockdown, when the official edict, the mandate, although it wasn't a law, you know, the legality is another matter, was that no such party should be held. This obviously reflects extremely badly on Boris Johnson, with widespread calls for his resignation. But Johnson, for all his faults, has been holding out against the dreaded vaccine passports in the UK, where they've been introduced not only in continental Europe, but in Scotland and Wales as well. But we don't have them yet in England, because Johnson has some libertarian instincts and famously said, getting on for 20 years ago, when the professional liar Tony Blair was prime minister and trying to get identity cards through parliament, Johnson said that if he was ever forced to issued with an identity card, he would eat it. So he has some track record of, you know, not supporting these things. Apparently in cabinet yesterday, a couple of ministers, including Michael Gove, who's been touted as a possible successor, were pushing for this so-called Plan B, which means wider restrictions, vaccine passports, you know, working from home, more furloughing, not the full lockdown. And all of this, of course, is in response to this farcical Omicron variant, the symptoms of which appear to be remarkably similar to a very mild cold.
Basil, how well is it understood in the UK that this whole thing is a complete sham, and that what's the problem is the vax, that that's a lethal weapon, not the virus, which has a survival rate in excess of 99% across virtually every age group? I mean, this is a monstrous attempt at mass genocide. Do your colleagues appreciate and understand its full dimensions?
It's a drip thing, Jim. We're slowly getting there. We've been saying this for weeks, that the tide is turning. Of course, you know, when it comes to the official narrative, more so than at any time in history, we have a situation where large chunks of academia, non-governmental organizations such as the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum, a tiny handful of exponentially wealthy individuals like Bill Gates, the so-called mainstream media, which I prefer to call the lying corporate media, large sections of so-called elected government, and of course, virtually the entire deep state, are all in lockstep. You know, Bill Gates makes donations to the World Health Organization. I mean, it's extraordinary, really, that a single individual was able to make up the United States' donation to the WHO. He's got his Gavi organization, the vaccine pushers. He funds the BBC, makes donations to various outgrowths of the BBC. He makes donations to the Trussell Trust, which runs The Guardian and Observer newspapers, which looked like they were going to go bust a few years ago, but now have a considerable online presence as much as anything else on both sides of the Atlantic. So you've got a situation where for the vast majority of the general public, whichever way they turn, mainstream media, mainstream media is amplifying certain academics, only certain ones, but they're the only ones we see on television. Likewise, the celebrity endorsements. We've had a former pop singer dressing up as Santa Claus, encouraging people to get their boosters this week. And then you go to the news program itself. Wherever you turn, you're faced with this mono narrative, with an extremely narrow opinion corridor, with a what I call a sort of COVID metaverse, a virtual reality version of COVID, where we are still in the midst of a deadly pandemic. And the only way out of this pandemic is more vaccines, even though we know they're not actually vaccines, that they don't work, and that they're highly dangerous. So we've got, you know, parallel realities going on. One is the one still being pumped out by the lamestream corporate media, and the other was the one that people know from their daily lives to be the case, which is that, as in any winter season, there may be a nasty respiratory disease out there. If you get it, we know from Joe Rogan and his chums that, you know, take your ivermectin, stay at home, have some honey and lemon, you'll probably be all right. The last thing you want to do is go to a hospital and get put on a ventilator or given the fatal pharmaceutical that they've been giving people in hospital. So bridging these two, or the slow conversion of people from this COVID metaverse that exists only in the pages of The Guardian and BBC Studios, to the sort of, you know, waking up, oh my God, I think we might have been had reality, is a slow process of osmosis. But yes, people are peeling off one by one. I know a lot of people, for example, who had two jabs, they don't necessarily want a third. You know, a lot of them had two adverse reactions to one of their previous jabs. Perfectly rational and understandable not to want another one, you know. But that doesn't stop this continuing demonization of the other. It's as if in the world of the corporate media, you know, there are no adverse effects at all, and the vaccines work as they were touted to work 12 months ago, when in fact we know something completely different. I mean, personally, I get fed up with them still being called vaccines. They're not vaccines. They don't vaccinate anybody against anything. It is, in fact, a treatment. It's a treatment administered in advance that may or may not lessen the symptoms if and when you contract the disease. That's it. They don't stop you contracting it. They don't stop you passing it on. They're not a vaccine in any traditional understanding of the biochemistry of vaccines. So, you know, it's really a disgrace that we're continuing to call them that. You know, yeah, I mean, I can't watch the BBC. I just get too angry and upset. I'm sure you can imagine. And that's our main source of news here in the UK. There's another news channel popped up in recent years called GB News. And that has a few more, one or two rather good correspondents on it. In particular, a Scottish guy who was originally a naturalist who hosted a very popular program about Britain's coastline about 20 years ago. His name is Neil Oliver, and he is very much up to speed and delivered a monologue only last week in which he said, look, anybody, the gloves are off, anybody, any politician anywhere endorsing mandatory vaccination is an authoritarian, period, you know. And the pretense of being a, inverted commas, liberal in the widest sense of the word, politician, the mask will have finally slipped. And GB News gets quite a lot of views. I see this, he's widely tweeted. And, you know, just, it's an echo chamber, admittedly. But what I'm picking up, to answer your question again, finally, what I'm picking up from social media is that gradually people are peeling away one by one from the mainstream matters, mainstream narrative, and starting to think for themselves a little bit. But the propaganda is relentless and of sophistication and perniciousness that we've never seen before in our lifetimes.
I think that's exactly right, Giuseppe. I'm sure you have many questions for Basil.
Of course I do, Jim. And it's an honor to have Basil back on the show again. We appreciate his time. And I would like to ask about the following situation, whereas England, much to the great admiration of the rest of the world, furthered the cause of individual rights and freedoms with the Magna Carta about a millennia ago. And then they wisely, a few centuries ago, showed the tribe of happy merchants the door and escorted them off the island. And yet, in the last week, a gentleman whose name escapes me, who liked to rant about the happy merchants on Gab, was sentenced to 4 years in prison for just expressing his opinion. In the home of the Magna Carta, Basil, what the heck is going on?
I haven't seen that story, Giuseppe, but of course, we have hate speech laws in the United Kingdom now. We don't have a First Amendment, and therefore, if people don't like what you say, you can get prosecuted. I believe that there is a move, and this is something that a lot of people are starting to pick up on, to make wolf whistling, you know.
Right, sorry, right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, whistling at a woman in the street.
Yeah.
Or making, you know, what are considered inappropriate remarks to a woman, a hate crime.
Unreal. Jeez.
So people do feel that their traditional liberties, you know, are being infringed. And in terms of where we are with COVID, it is thankfully due to a small number of sort of libertarian-minded conservative MPs that we haven't gone down the, you know, Austro-German route of mandatory vaccinations for all. I mean, it is ironic from where we are in the UK that the Nazi policies are being introduced in the Axis powers first.
That's right. You know, staying on the topic of the hate speech laws, and, you know, I mean, every, yourself included, every Brit friend I have, highly intelligent, really values the idea of, you know, individual autonomy and free speech. And yet how do these laws get passed? I mean, how do the citizens of England put up with this?
Well, people were blindsided, you know. There's an organization called Hope Not Hate. I don't know if you've come across it.
I have seen that. Mm-hmm.
If anything, it's quite the reverse.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
And of course, we saw the extraordinary smearing of just about the least racist person in Britain, Jeremy Corbyn, as a racist, and in particular as an anti-Semite. Because of his long-standing support for Palestinian human rights, that has now extended to the point where this is you'll love this irony. There's an organization of Labour Party members and supporters called Jewish Voice for Labour. You have to be Jewish to be in Jewish Voice for Labour, not surprisingly.
Yeah.
But it's decidedly non-Zionist, overtly non-Zionist, highly critical of Zionism, Jewish Voice for Labour, as distinct from the other Jewish organisations within the Labour Party, which are effectively extensions of what was the Israeli Labour Party and various other bodies. So because of this purge of so-called anti-Semites, all sorts, dozens in fact, of members of Jewish Voice for Labour are being expelled from the Labour Party, systematically expelled from the Labour Party. It's reached a point where if you say, if as a Labour Party member, you say that the anti-Semitism crisis in the Labour Party has been exaggerated, you are expelled for anti-Semitism.
Isn't it? Go ahead.
You don't need to say anything anti-remotely, even never mind criticizing Israel or anything like that at all. You only need to say that the crisis itself has been exaggerated and you will be expelled.
Well, don't you see eerie...
That's the classic witch hunt.
Right.
It's actually, you know, hold on a moment. I think we might have been burning too many innocent women as witches here. Right? You're a witch. Burn him too. You know what I mean?
Well, don't you see...
So the deep irony is that in its desperate attempts to appease the ultra-Zionist Board of Deputies of British Jews and by extension the Israeli embassy, the Labour Party is now being anti-Semitic by expelling all these anti-Zionist Jews.
Unreal. Get it? I do get it.
You know, talk about tying itself in knots. It's an absolute farce. But unfortunately, the net result is that whereas we did have a few years ago a Labour Party that was seeking to develop some sort of ethical foreign policy that might have embargoed arms sales to Israel, that might have actually done something rather than just made empty noises about the situation in Israel-Palestine, we now have a Labour Party fully in lockstep with the Israeli embassy, basically, and where anybody in the Labour Party who says anything at all that an Israeli spokesman doesn't like gets kicked out. And obviously that's, you know.
Basil, this raises many questions. When you mention farce, I immediately think of the Biden White House administration. This guy doesn't even appear to be the senator from Delaware, but an actor. I've spotted many differentiating features. The shape of the skull and the size is different. The color of the eyes is different. The ears are different. So a pharmacist comparing signatures notices signatures are completely different. Social interaction with Jill is different. We have a totally fabricated administration. And when you have this imposter meeting with a shrewd guy like Vladimir Putin, I mean, it seems to me it's no contest. Where the Saker is now suggesting, however, that we may have turned the corner because whoever is pulling the strings behind Biden seems to be seeking accommodation with Russia. And among the parties that were first notified were UK, Germany, France, not Ukraine, not Poland, for example. So that the Saker, and I've just published his review on my blog at jamesvetzer.org, thinks there's the possibility of turning the corner. But of course, as you well know, the United States has violated its most solemn agreements made between Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan related to the dissolution of the Soviet Union, which were negotiated by then Ambassador Lee Wanta, where the West declared it would make no encroachment on the new, now to become sovereign Eastern Bloc nations, nor any effort to militarize the zone when we've done precisely the opposite. Of course, this is exactly why Russia has been so very concerned, given that historically Ukraine has been the breadbasket of Russia, historically for hundreds and hundreds of years, very close ties, so that the color revolution executed by Victoria Nuland, who Biden has now brought in from the Obama administration to his own administration, I think the whole situation is very artificial, but I would like for the Saker to be right that he may be perceiving a change, a thaw in relations between Russia and the U.S. Your take?
Well, I hope he is right. I watched Tucker Carlson last night, who said that on both sides of the aisle in Congress, the drumbeat for war is getting ever louder, led by that dreadful Newland woman, but supported by people, including someone he described as intelligent, which made me laugh, Mike Pompeo. And he quoted a senator from Mississippi, Republican senator from Mississippi, whose name escapes me, who even went as far to suggest that should the United States suffer a military reversal in the Ukraine, it should consider a nuclear option. That is the level of insanity. So having said that, to date, Biden hasn't sent any troops to the Ukraine. So there must be in the White House a counterweight to these moronic warmongers. So, as is often the case, unfortunately, we're not privy to exactly which factions in our current governments are pushing and pulling in which direction, and we simply have to hope that sanity prevails. As regards the Ukraine itself, I'm given to believe that the eastern Ukraine is populated by Russian Orthodox Christians who feel a strong sense of allegiance to Mother Russia herself, but that western Ukraine is largely Catholic, is ethnically and religiously slightly different from the east, and that it is
right. You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Also, much apologies before we were so rudely interrupted. You were on a roll. Please continue your thoughts.
Yeah, well, we're used to the break, Jim. It's all right. It's just unbelievable that, you know, in this day and age, anybody could be contemplating a hot war with Russia. Let alone turning it nuclear. I can't believe that the United States' newly woke army, you know, will provide much resistance in eastern Ukraine to Putin's troops should it come to it. But, you know, we just have to hope that the sane faction in the White House continues to prevail. But what's the mood on your side of the pond when it comes to Ukraine? Obviously, as Tucker pointed out, it's got absolutely nothing to do with the core interests of the United States. And the Ukraine is to Russia what Canada and Mexico are to the United States, if not more so. You know, you could even say that the Ukraine is sort of the equivalent of Alaska or Hawaii or something, in as much as the two have been in lockstep for centuries, and obviously during this era of the Soviet Union was, you know, Ukraine was to all intents and purposes directly ruled by Moscow. And as you say, we've broken all the Reagan-Gorbachev protocols right the way round Russia. It's ringed now, isn't it? Lithuania, Latvia, Poland, all its border countries are now in NATO. And yet NATO was originally created to form a counterweight to the Eastern Bloc after the Second World War. There was a very good case for dismantling NATO when the Berlin Wall fell, frankly. You know, it's arguably the biggest and most powerful, certainly in terms of destructive power, the most powerful military coalition ever assembled in known human history. And it's got no one to fight. So what does it do? It wanders around trying to pick fights with people. And the only two people it can pick fights with, really, are Russia and China.
Yes, I think Americans who are paying attention have basically discounted the Biden administration for its massive failures. Some observers have noted that Biden has been wrong on every significant issue, including foreign policy, for the last 40 years. Barack Obama said of Biden, never underestimate Joe's ability to F things up. With the withdrawal from Afghanistan, with the open borders, with the supply chain problems, with growing inflation, with mandates and all that, with the implicit endorsement of defunding the police and the horrors that manifest, with the Democrat district attorneys releasing criminals on bail, with a massive organized shoplifting on a heretofore unprecedented scale, in where the burglaries and crime are now reaching into the suburbs, I'm going to be surprised if the Democrats get a single vote in 2022. Of course, there's a hardcore that isn't paying attention, but every sign indicates there's going to be a red tide sweeping the nation. I'm predicting the Democrats will lose 100 seats in the House and several Senate seats in addition. But of course, that presumes there's remotely a honest tabulation of the vote, where we learned in 2020 that they actually have the power to manipulate the outcome across the board. It appears there was interference of one form or another in all 50 states, Basil. It's stunning. So Biden, in my opinion, is simply regarded as a buffoon, that he's an imposter, that he's utterly incompetent. Everyone is cognizant of his incapacities intellectually. I mean, we're in such dire straits, particularly because of the ongoing efforts to get people vaxxed, where it turns out that, for example, in Los Angeles, the school system has been vaccinated kids by promising them pizza and telling them not to inform their parents. This is about as disgusting as it gets. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I saw that as a news clip during the rounds today. I mean, I think with Biden, and this, you know, goes back to his election, 12 months ago now, his so-called election, his appointment, that the American people, as they have been at regular intervals in the last 50 years, are frankly being punked. You know, Biden has always been a terrible candidate. When he ran for president in the 80s, he was exposed as borrowing the speech of the then Labour leader, Neil Kinnock, who was himself a terrible candidate who lost two general elections. The Democratic primaries were rigged in Biden's favor, obviously, for him to win. That was all done with smoke and mirrors, where he went from being an absolute dead duck candidate after the first few primaries to somehow miraculously emerging as the unity candidate, supported by you know, the mayor from South Bend, Indiana, Buttigieg, and all the others, suddenly all swung behind Biden, and he was the candidate. And the idea that somebody as senile and incompetent as him could or would be elected is what we on this side of the pond call a piss take. It's a sort of semi-deliberate humiliation. It's an indication of just how little input people have in the election of their so-called leaders. It's sticking two fingers, or as you in America prefer to call it, the single middle digit, up at the American people and saying, look how stupid you are. We can even put this senile old cretin in power and you can't do anything about it.
Giuseppe.
What an excellent point, Basil. In fact, it's funny, as the old saying goes, all roads lead to Rome. These days, it's all roads lead to the city of London and the satanically evil Rothschild banking cabal, and the same individuals who fund NATO, and which is essentially the Rothschild banking cabal private mercenary army, are also just stealing an election blatantly. I mean, there anyone who applies any type of forensic investigation reveals that the Joe Biden installation, he was not elected. He probably lost 47, if not 48 states that night. But all of a sudden, oop, the easily hackable and controlled Dominion software, which is even worse than the old Diebold black box voting that was hackable back in the first decade of the 21st century. It's madness to me, but it's all much the same, actually, just hit me, is going on with the world gaslighting about the deadly injection of this experimental nanotechnology and who knows what's in it. But again, if you apply forensic evidence, they've literally killed in 11 months somewhere between 100,000 and a million people in the first world with this injection, this experimental injection. And so, again, all roads lead to the city of London, it appears to me. Your thoughts?
Well, of course, the irony of the election, or rather the doubling down of the sin, is that when expressing their entirely justified skepticism as to the result of the November 2020 presidential election, hundreds of thousands of people gathered in Washington, they have subsequently been framed as terrorists.
Right.
I don't know if you saw Tucker's other segment this week, which I thought was excellent, talking about who is the person identified as Redface 45 in the footage. It has become increasingly obvious that the FBI were the only people behind any violent insurrection on that day. The overwhelming majority, if not to all intents and purposes, all the demonstrators there were simply honest to God Americans. Obviously, you know, more than unhappy about what had gone on, but simply making their presence felt. And the whole thing has gone on to be turned into the most absurd political kabuki theater. I mean, everything, it seems, has just literally been turned upside down in the States. You know, it's as if they really were, you know, somebody's out to really try and collapse society itself. The most recent thing we had, and Joe Rogan pointed this out, was that absurd so-called white supremacist march in Washington. Did you see that?
Oh, that was such a stage. The same guys who were standing around in their crew cuts and their matching spy watches did that. It's hilariously funny. Yeah.
As Joe Rogan said, where are the fat guys? You know, who paid for all these matching uniforms? So, you know, one looks back on the politics of the 1960s and 70s, which I fondly remember, when the biggest problems we had were the balance of payments and a strike at a typewriter factory or something, you know, with fondness now, because the level of deception that we're now all forced to confront on a daily basis has made it very difficult to communicate with people hypnotized and brainwashed by what they read in the media. I mean, I was in all places an art gallery in down in Falmouth in Cornwall a few weeks ago, and God knows how the subject came up of January the 6th. And I casually remarked to the bloke running it, I said, oh, you've got to be joking about that. I said, the only insurrectionists there were, you know, with the FBI, that's the biggest load of, you know, nothing burger ever. And this guy, English bloke, appeared completely reasonable when he went absolutely apoplectic, you know. How dare I say something like that? This was an attempted coup, you know. Really? So, you know, once again, we find, you know, people coexisting in the same time and place with completely different realities, you know, such completely different mindsets that, whereas we used to in politics have commonly agreed sets of principles and values, and really it was only a question of how we worked towards achieving agreed aims, which were sort of how to benefit the greatest number of people in society and create a peaceful, prosperous, well-educated, you know, truth and honesty-based civilization. It now seems that we do actually have, well, it's become increasingly obvious, I should say, that there are dark agents at work whose aim is deception, built on deception, built on deception, built on deception, you know. So you end up with this ridiculous thing where it's made it increasingly difficult to talk to people that are brainwashed, because to begin to unravel where they stand on things. I mean, if we take this, the scamdemic, for example, you know, people's identity has once again got caught up in their belief system around the pandemic, you know, such that when you challenge their beliefs about the pandemic, people feel very personally challenged on a core level, that their values are under threat. If you say to them, look, I think you'll find da da da, there were no excess deaths in Western countries in 2020, but there are in 2021, but they're not from COVID. So, you know, what about all these athletes collapsing in public, clutching their chests, many of them dying of heart attacks? That's because their hearts are under pressure doing physical exercise, and that prompts this myocarditis, pericarditis. We had a cardiologist managed to make it onto GB News a week or so ago, Dr. Malhotra. He said he's talking to cardiologists all over the country who are saying they are getting loads more patients with heart problems. And so what is the response? I think you've seen some of it. The absolutely ridiculous black propaganda gaslighting that's been going on with the invention of something called post-pandemic stress disorder. This can lead to heart attacks, apparently. So can cold weather. So can shoveling snow in front of your drive. That can bring on a heart attack. So we're getting this avalanche of propaganda in readiness for the adverse reactions and the increased deaths from heart attacks caused by the vaxes. And it's absolutely sick. But people are starting to see through that. They really are. That's an Achilles heel right there. That's a chink in the armor. That's causing even a lot of normaloids to stroke their beards and think, you know, this has never been a problem in previous years.
So well stated. I mean, it's astounding. I would say it's not even propaganda anymore. It's out and out gaslighting for mind control. And the especially vulgar and obscene and frankly clumsy is this idea that, oh, of course, young, healthy children have strokes and heart attacks. Of course they do. And no, they never do. That's why you're young and healthy. And you know, what is your, why do you believe that there's such a globalist effort through every nation, but especially the first world nations, to inject the citizenry with this experimental gene therapy?
Well, that, Giuseppe, to paraphrase the famous old game show, is the $64,000 question.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, aren't physicians supposed to be engaged in the business of trying to make people better? You know, why has all treatment of COVID, even discussion of treatment of COVID, been suppressed? You know, why do we not have a public forum with all sort of media, newspaper, television, online, pooling ideas and resources for how to treat people who've gone down with COVID?
Right.
Oh, this worked for my friend. This worked for my brother. This worked for me. Oh, that worked for me too. You know, why is there not a sort of collective hive mind effort to find solutions to an illness? Why do we only have this one club approach, which is an experimental gene therapy, to the extent that even discussion of anything else is verboten, is sort of somehow blasphemous, you know? Not allowed to talk about making people better, you know?
Yeah.
It's, I've never seen anything like it. It's completely, well, the two words that I use and our language can't be strong enough, / can't be too strong. There's the idiosyncrasy of English. The two words that I use to describe it are evil and insane.
Yes.
And we've got to keep up using this strongest possible language, because even to sort of make any sort of accommodation with what's going on is, to some extent, you know, mollifying it, is excusing it, is accommodating it, you know. So we have to stand behind the strongest possible terms of condemnation. And what's going on at the moment is evil and insane.
Well stated, well stated. Yeah, you know, another interesting element, Jim and Basil, I'd like to get both your thoughts on this. And Basil hit it so clearly, even, you know, in the 70s or 80s, not just the 60s when we were little children and Jim was a young man, is you used to be able to have debate. You know, you used to be able to have people talk about things and they might be passionate, but they could still be adults and talk back and forth and debate and everyone could agree. You know, now the level of gaslighting and mental entrainment, some type of weird dark hypnosis with people who are siding with this globalist initiative, it's a type of communism now that some of the friends of show like Lark in Texas and Brian and Jenna and Nikki Rapana, who discovered it, it's communitarianism, right? The jackboot on your throat now has a fuzzy bunny slipper in it. We have to all take care of each other, bro. And the it takes a village to raise a child, like the vile witch Hillary Clinton tried to say during her failed presidential run of 2016. And the reality is these people are in a cult. And so instead of debate or discussion, they now have one bullet in their gun, an ad hominem insult, which is, oh, you're an anti-Semite. Oh, you're a, you don't trust the science. You're an anti-vaxxer. You're an anti-tranny. You're a racist. You know, no discussion, no debate, no look at forensic evidence, facts, realistic data. Nope. It's just, oh, you're threatening my cult-like beliefs. I'm going to label you with an ad hominem. And that's that. I've won. You know, it's unbelievable to me. And gentlemen, what are your thoughts on this decline in civilization and civilized dialogue?
It's deeply anti-intellectual, apart from anything else.
Yeah.
It's reached the point where, you know, I had an old friend, sort of traditional lefty, who I'm pleased to say is finding himself increasingly isolated in his positions. he started calling me a conspiracy theorist. So he's someone who likes to think of himself as being anti-establishment. So I pointed out to him that, you know, he was using a CIA put down there. I don't think he was aware of that. But it's now reached the point where I've noticed him dismissing, this is in social media forums, the suggestion to do some research. Ah, wow. Do some research. Oh, yeah, that old one. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of, if you encourage somebody to do some research, then you're admitting that you're a tinfoil hat wearer, that there's no such thing as research, that, you know, why would I need to do any research? You know, I've got the mainstream media to rely upon. The very term research itself has been denigrated, like we said last time, like the term truth. You know, we're in a society that is no longer in love with the truth, and that's very, very dangerous. We're now in societies that are deeply anti-intellectual, you know, founded on a sort of assumptive scientism, which where conclusions are presented and then amplified, and no further challenges can be made. It's really much more like the days of the Spanish Inquisition. You know, we are losing the legacy of the Enlightenment. You know.
Oh, well stated.
Regret, we're about to hit the break. We'll be right back with Basil Valentine, and hopefully I can regain my voice.
Stay tuned for hour two.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to hour two of the event. I'm Giuseppe Vafangulu here with the professor Jim Fetzer and our honored guest Basil Valentin from England and key correspondent with Patrick Henningsen's brilliant The Sunday Wire. So we'll return to our discussion. Jim, how are you feeling better? Are you there, Jim? There we go. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I'm back. Yes.
All right, good deal.
We're on with Basil again?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just wonderful to have him here. And your points about civilization falling apart, I think, are terribly well taken. We're seeing incivility on virtually every side. And this new farce with this obvious fake conservative protest in Washington is a joke. I mean, they must be pretty desperate to be reaching that point. But ultimately, I believe it's a financial system they're after, that if they can get us all on to digital banking and currency, then our fate is sealed, because they can thereby control our behavior. If we don't act according to their prescripts, they will simply cut us off. So I foresee, if that happens with a digital passport, the vaccine passport is a step in that direction, I think all bets are off and humanity may be fated for a destiny none of us want, but that the elites desire.
Yeah, in the UK here, if I want to know what the tip of the New World Order Illuminati spear is doing, I look at Tony Blair, the professional liar. And he was on the BBC yet again. They give him a platform every few weeks, once again calling for vaccine passports, which it is now becoming increasingly clear are the thin end of the biometric ID, you know, which is the ultimate goal. And then linked to that, of course, is your social credit, your carbon credit, and the full surveillance grid. To be fair to him, Alex Jones was bleating on about this 10 or 15 years ago and never stopped going on about it. And he's been very good with the, he's been bang up to ball with the scamdemic as well. The idea in the long run being, you know, to really create an artificial reality, very different from the one we grew up in, gentlemen, you know, where every aspect of human behavior is monitored, logged, and either rewarded or punished, initially via a smartphone app. But obviously, they have batteries that run down and they can be lost. So it makes perfect sense, of course, instead for this information, including your so-called vaccination status, to be contained in a microchip implanted under the skin. And that's where they want to take us. Interestingly enough, if I could get a little bit esoteric on you for a moment, this Omicron, as well as being an anagram of moronic, is also the name, apparently, of a fallen seraphim extraterrestrial race who work with the draconians. Now, that may be entirely coincidental, but what the Omicron draconian agenda is basically to turn our planet into what we would think of as hell, pure and simple. Now, we're all familiar with the medieval depictions of hell from assorted artists like Hieronymus Bosch, but many, many others as well. And what was going on in hell? Well, we were all being stabbed, weren't we? Poked endlessly, literally endlessly, with tridents, having our skin pierced. And in what environment was this? Well, hell is depicted as a burning cauldron, an inferno getting ever hotter. But if we transplant that to 2021, what have we got? Well, we've got a planet which is supposedly heating up all the time and gradually turning into a literal inferno. And what's happening to us? Well, we're all getting spiked, aren't we? Not by demon wielding, not by tridents wielded by demons, but by these jabs. We're all getting spiked, aren't we? We're all getting the needle. So we have to ask ourselves, are we already in hell?
Well stated.
I appreciate your mentioning Alex Jones, because I've frequently commented that he's very good at the first two stages of scientific reasoning, which involve speculation, puzzlement, speculation, adaptation, explanation. He's very good at putting his finger on puzzling or troubling issues and then speculating about the possible alternative explanations. He's not good at carrying forward to determine the alternatives and the relative probability on those alternatives of the evidence itself. I think he got himself into a fix over Sandy Hook because he wound up being on both sides of the issue, and in fact even admitted during a video deposition in Connecticut that he'd never read the book where I brought together 13 experts, including six PhD professors. Nobody died at Sandy Hook, where we established a school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students or teachers there, that it was a two-day FEMA exercise presented as mass murder to promote gun control, where we even have the manual for the exercise, and where one of the contributors, Paul Preston, himself a school administrator, has admitted he was very troubled by the video being broadcast from Newtown that day and reached out to his contacts in the Obama Department of Education, all of whom confirmed to him it had been a drill, that no students had been harmed, and that it was done to promote gun control. But while Alex was on at one point insisting it was a hoax, on the other times he claimed children had died, which makes him vulnerable no matter what your stance. Alex has obviously been in one or the other instance on the wrong side. And I cannot imagine how anyone who wants to take a public stance on Sandy Hook would not read the only objective scientific study that really dispatches the whole event from end to end. Basil, I like what you're saying about Alex. I do have that caveat. Is there a perception of these legal issues related to Sandy Hook, where not only Alex, but Wolfgang Halbig, James Tracy, and I have all been held to account for publishing the truth about Sandy Hook?
Yeah, I mean, this side of the pond, it's rapidly passed into history, I'm afraid. I'm somewhat reluctant to say anything, given the state of the legal situation, Jim. Suffice to say that I've watched that documentary, We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook, which was extremely informative. Where Jones is concerned, he's just been quite good in the last couple of months about the pandemic. And I'm interested to know, but you, from your perspective, gentlemen, well, two things. First of all, to wrap up about the mandatory injections and the biometric ID and all that, what the state is attempting to do, and this is something we touched upon the last time I was with you, is the relationship between the individual and the state has already changed. And what the state now wants to do is to take that a step further and effectively turn the relationship into one of ownership. Because if you don't have bodily autonomy, you are effectively owned. You are property at that point.
I think that's right. I think you're giving a nice delineation into further your point about Alex being good about the scamdemic and other issues. I'm looking at InfoWars right here. Here are some of the titles of the stories he's featuring. Nuclear war red alert. U.S. government now publicly threatening Russia with preemptive thermonuclear war. That was one of the first issues you raised, Basil. Report, UK government could mandate vax passes this week. Another, TV show mysteriously deletes poll after vast majority opposed mandatory vaccine. Another, more bad news for Kamala Harris. Her new poll finds her popularity falling further. Only 40% of voters think she's qualified to be president. Another, New York hospital fires 100 unvaccinated employees who claim religious exemption, and NEA board member suggests unvaccinated with religious exemptions deserve to die. I mean, that's pretty stunning stuff, particularly since it reflects such massive ignorance about the realities that this virus has never been isolated, therefore there cannot be a vaccine, that these are not technically vaccines, they're a form of injection involving gene therapy or alteration, that they're experimental only, that their use is violative of the Nuremberg Code, which was adopted after World War II to prevent human beings from being subjected to experimental procedures without their voluntary and informed consent. All of this is enormous on the world stage, it seems to me. Your take, Basil.
I'm curious to know, gentlemen, where you stand with the pandemic, in as much as I was initially thought, well, you know, this is a genuine public health crisis. I was extremely I was first alerted to something funny might be going on by The Guardian, which Patrick Henningsen has identified these days as being an organ of the British deep state. And I think he's right about that. The Guardian was publishing stories, giving tremendous prominence to stories about the outbreak of this particular strain of flu in a province in China, when the number of people dying from it and the scale of the outbreak in no way warranted the amount of coverage it was getting in the UK press. It was in very much along the predictive programming lines, like, you know, hey, look out, this is coming, this thing. Well, you know, why should it come here? So a few people in China have got a particular strain of flu that you know, we haven't seen before, but why should that affect us? But the Guardian was sort of saying, well, this is going to be big, this is going to be big, for weeks and weeks in advance of it reaching these shores. So that made me suspicious. But nevertheless, such was the sort of avalanche of panic and hysteria when COVID did reach these shores, with, you know, whole football stadiums being turned over to makeshift hospitals, even though they were never used, huge indoor arenas and things, that went to, well, no, this is, obviously this is a genuine, public health emergency. And then we had the lockdowns. And then, rather like 9/11 and some of these other things, the narrative fed the narrative, such that the original events or whatever was at the kernel of it became obscured, right? And it's sort of like, you know, once you're in this lockdown, and then suddenly the agenda becomes the vaccines, and people start saying, well, hang on a minute, was there ever anything in to begin with, you know? So I'm curious to know what you think. I'm now extremely dubious as to whether or not there ever was a public health emergency, or whether or not possibly a bioweapon was deliberately released in order for there to be a certain number of cases of a particularly dire respiratory illness, so that because it pointed to say, oh, look at him, you know, he's got this, you know, previously undiagnosed extreme respiratory illness, which is killing him. Therefore, do not say there is no pandemic, because that is a terrible thing to say, because look at this man, he's dying. But whether the numbers ever back that up is a moot point, right? So, you know, possibly was a bioweapon released which killed a small number of people in a particularly visible way, such that then that could be amplified and turned into a pandemic? Or is the whole thing a great big nothing burger? You know, has the whole thing just been, you know, the biggest, as Goebbels said, the bigger the lie, the easier it is to sell it to people? You know? So I'm curious to know what you do think.
Well,
we're at a point where the original facts have become so obscured 2 years later, you know.
Well, the Rothschilds seem to have taken over the World Health Organization, the CDC, the National Institute of Health. As you no doubt are aware, the head of the World Economic Forum and founder, Klaus Schwab, is himself a Rothschild. The American media is dominated by dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. The Rothschilds take responsibility for founding Israel. In other words, they have virtual, and of course, their control over Congress through AIPAC is just stunning. I believe, and Giuseppe is going to be even more authoritative than I, but the whole thing was a scam from the beginning. I mean, look, in 2017, Anthony Fauci, to my refer as Tony the Rat, was predicting that the Trump administration would have to deal not only with flu and HIV, AIDS, but also a surprise pandemic. Bill Gates had been doing seminars around the world claiming that the greatest threat to the world population is not nuclear warfare, but a pandemic. They were laying the seeds. After all, if Anthony Fauci is predicting a pandemic in 2017, how can it be a surprise? And if Anthony Fauci is the guy who's supposed to prepare the nation to deal with pandemics, then why were we not prepared? And it turns out that for some 30 years, Anthony Fauci has been in control of dealing out billions in research grants to virtually every significant player in the field, which meant they all felt obligated to him and not to contest his declaration. But it was all a mind game, a mass illusion, in my opinion. The survival rate is in excess of 99% across virtually every age group, Basel, and the fact is it's the vaccine that is taking the death toll. As you mentioned, even athletes are dropping dead on the soccer field when they're at the peak of their physical development, but because they've taken the jab, they are dying, dropping like flies. Giuseppe.
What a great question. So 11 years ago, the Rockefeller Foundation, one of the criminal cabal minions of the Rothschild globalist cabal, put out a report, of four scenarios of the coming, scary virus, the worst of which was Operation Lockstep. The great Harry Vox exposed it on a community TV show, community cable TV show in 2014. And today, Operation Lockstep, which you can go find, it's everywhere. I have the PDF, and you read it, and it's like the movie with Jim Carrey, The Truman Show, where they scripted out the reality 11 years ago that we're now living. Secondly, Bill Gates, the propped up near autistic minion of the globalist Rothschild Rockefellers, who's been propped up since day one as this boy genius, and he's just a high level functioning deviant. He ran an event called Event 201, which 2 years ago laid out the same scenario, and all these know-it-all, know-nothings, these PhD clowns from various countries sat there and, oh my God, what will happen? Oh, it's coming. Oh, Event 201. And the reality is that there was targeted release of a bioweapon. Every pandemic, every scare tactic since the 80s has been bioweapon developed. HIV is a bioweapon. AIDS is a bio, the syndrome known as AIDS is caused by the bioweapon. SARS, bioweapon. Swine flu, bioweapon. Bird flu, bioweapon. MERS, bioweapon. The new SARS-CoV-2, bioweapon. All accidentally released. So you have people who did get this contagion, this bioweapon. Our dear friend Dave Gaharie is valiantly fighting it for months now. It's a horrific bioweapon-generated disease. That is the minority of people who have it. The majority, as Frank Herbert said in his brilliant book, Dune, fear is the mind killer. They rebranded the flu, PIC, pneumonia, influenza, cold season, which happens every year with the toxicity of the modern world. 2019, 2020, 38 million cases of the flu in the United States. 2021, last year, 1,822. Oh my goodness, where did all those flu cases go? They're rebranded with this gaslighting lie of COVID. That's what people are so weak-minded, weak-willed, so easily controlled, that you can believe that a case of the cold, now everything is, oh, COVID, oh, COVID, oh, COVID. And so let me take this screen down to the extent now where, let me take that off and then bring up this story that I just was reading during the break, which the level of mind control now by these evil deviants is such that, there we go. This woman, an Erie, Pennsylvania teacher, calls for religious exempted unvaccinated to be shot and killed. She posted that, this woman named Molly Page Mumau, and you can see the same insane look in the eyes of all these other pure blood zealots who really trust the lies of corporate science. And so it's absolutely a scamdemic with using targeted bioweapon release and fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the global virus in reality, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Giuseppe. So you do think that certain places, certain times, a bit like AIDS, you know, somebody pretty dastardly has released something somewhere so that there is a kernel to the story and that can be pointed at. As you say, your friend's been struggling for 5 months, and there undoubtedly have been people who have been very ill with some uniquely unpleasant respiratory virus, right?
Well, you mentioned in hour one, the weapon, the weaponized element is the spike protein. That's what's causing these people to be taken to the emergency rooms with clotting in their lungs and grossly mistreated. You shouldn't be on a ventilator. You shouldn't be on remdesivir, which is a garbage, murderous drug. You should be in a hyperbaric chamber with intravenous vitamin C and blood thinner. That would save everyone's lives. But the arrogance of the quackery, which is big pharma, it is, oh, you got to, you know, they control the FDA, they control the CDC, they control the NIH, they control the WHO. So, of course, they're going to be pushing their toxic quackery, which is all you get from Big Pharma since they were indemnified, literally made men like the mafia in the 80s. And in America, that is, the United States and worldwide, they're indemnified because the lunacy of the puppet first world governments, everybody signed on to this World Health Organization mandate, which is just another way of global government controlling the sheeple, the cattle, by saying you have to do this. Corporate big pharma is your only path to health, which is no path to health.
Yeah, no, go on, yes.
I thought your summary overview, Giuseppe, was spot on, very precise and perceptive, and eviscerated the whole official narrative. Basil, please continue.
Sorry, I've just got somebody calling on the other line for 1 second, gents.
Sure, no problem. We're coming up on the break anyway. I believe, Jim, we're going to take calls after the break.
Yes, we are. I was about to announce the number for those who'd like to speak to Basil, Giuseppe, and me, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. We'll be back with Basil Valentine, and we're just delighted to have him here once again.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We're delighted to be back with Basil and Giuseppe, and I reiterate the phone number if you'd like to call in, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. And what Giuseppe is showing now is that the second False Flag and Conspiracies Conference will be held this weekend, 11 and 12 December. Last year was a great success, and I have even more speakers lined up, four more coming in, some of whom are real heavyweights, but already they're going to have about 20 speakers altogether, and it's just a stupendous lineup, including some of the earliest false flags that we know to have recorded, though I have no doubt there were many more in the past. For example, even the Trojan horse could be viewed as a false flag after all, because it was presented as a gift, but actually was a way of invading the castle to wreak destruction by exiting from the horse in the middle of the night. Giuseppe, I thank you for posting this. Those who'd like to learn more, go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Right at the top, it mentioned it's this weekend. I'll just mention some of the participants include the best students of false flags in the world. Nick Kullerstrom, for example, and Ole Domegaard have done such sensational work. I've done many presentations with them. Ole, remarkably, even turns out to be a musician. So at the end of the evening on Saturday night, we have a musical interlude. But we have students showing that they can figure out what happened to JFK better than the Warren Commission, or I dare say in relation to JFK Revisited, Oliver Stone. We have Susan Bradford on the politics of business, Jack Abramoff and Enron, which is rather fascinating. Joe Olson talking about the fall of America. Sarah Westall, the COVID conspiracy and mind control. We have Allison Maynard about three unusual cases of young women who appear to have been murdered, but may in fact still be alive. I'm offering a tale of two cities, Kenosha and Waukesha, where Russ Winter et al., including Giuseppe, are going to offer their critique. Russ has suspicions there may be a PSYOC aspect to this. Dina Pollard-Sachs, completely brilliant, talks about the vaccine wars from a legal perspective. Ron Avery, who's been following the case closely, about my lawsuit and another in which he himself was involved, emphasizing fake news and fake law in a police state is what we're up against. Mike Palachek is addressing freedom of the press. Carl Herman, American Revolution 2.0. Ole Domegaard gives the finale, but let me say, the others that I'm going to be adding to the list here as soon as I have their presentations in hand will be mind-blowers. It's just wonderful how this is shaping up. Giuseppe, thanks for the opportunity to make that pitch.
Without a doubt, Jim, I did a documentary about which showed instead of Nostradamus, I was Giuseppe Damus because my documentary last year for the premiere edition of the False Flags and Conspiracy, predicted everything that is now occurring to come true, has come true. And now I was really glad to be part of the discussion with Russ Winter, Dave Scorpio, and Daryl Wayne, retired commercial pilot and excellent intrepid muckraker. So this is a heavy hitters list, Jim, people. And I believe that if they invest in a ticket, you can buy $25 gets you 1 month access, and $40 gets you a year's access to watch at your leisure and rewatch as you can take notes. And doesn't this also go towards your legal defense fund?
It does. It does, Giuseppe. And I'm very grateful for support, because while I'm glad to do all these things gratis, my heart is in it because I believe the American people are entitled to know the truth about their own history. The lawyer is assisting me for reasons I've yet to discern expect to be paid. So it helps with legal bills, filings, or filing fees. We're going after Amazon for having banned six count them, of my books, where I bring together groups of experts. Not only did they ban my Sandy Hook book, but also on the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even on the moon landing, though I'm convinced that's because the ADL asked that any books, Amazon banned any books that disputed the official narrative of World War II, you know, the one involving gas chambers and Zyklon B, be banned. Well, this book happens to have the moon book, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, which Mike Palachek suggested might be an appropriate response one would have to hearing the title of our first book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, contains not only a section on Paul versus Paul, the death of Paul McCartney on 9/11, 1966, and his replacement by an even better musician, but also about the first death of Saddam Hussein, the second death of Osama bin Laden, and then a series of essays that really are reconstructing the history we have been told, where it turns out that Jewish or Israeli political clout is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust, which the disputing of which is unacceptable. I don't believe in the UK you can even raise the issue, so I shall not ask Basel to add his further thoughts about all of this. I'll just say, to the extent to which we still enjoy a modicum of freedom of the press, you really want to take advantage of the opportunity by going to moonrockbooks.com. And you mentioned before Dave Gaharia is recovering. He's actually gotten up and walked now. He's still having difficulty speaking because he was put on a ventilator twice. But I'm telling you, just as he's the only person I know who ever beat Wall Street in a lawsuit, Dave Gaharia, it appears, is beating the ventilator, Giuseppe. Glad to say.
Oh, that's wonderful news, Jim. Dave is a dear friend and a brother in this struggle for truth and for the divine. And I mean, I've been praying for Dave every day, and many others that I know who are afflicted with the sad thing is this bioweapon really preys upon people with comorbidities, which is existing conditions that would or would not have killed the patient from a pneumonia or a flu or a cold. But it definitely will kill you if you get this bioweapon enhanced flu-like contagion. So good for Dave, man. Dave, we need you to come back. And what a hero. What a strength of will to come back for his wife and children. And amazing. I've never heard of anyone come off a ventilator twice. What a hero.
Yeah, just fantastic. Basel, you're welcome to comment on any of the above, but I understand you would be under certain constraints in the UK. It's we have featured Monica Schaefer, for example, about her experience in relation to speaking out about these issues. I would like to believe that we should enjoy freedom of speech around the world, but it's obviously a rarity, and we seem to be rapidly losing our ability to speak out right here in the USA. I've had hundreds of my videos removed by YouTube. I've had my Twitter account completely deleted with no warning or forethought. It's become outrageous, which is a reason why I've created a BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, to post the need-to-know shows where Giuseppe, Scorpio, Joe Olson, Michael Ivey, and Maryam Hanin, and provide constant, brilliant commentary day after day, 5 days a week. And of course, where the shows that I'm doing and others are being posted there, including, of course, the event, which will be up at our BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, after the show. Basil, you're welcome to comment any or none of the above with further thoughts of your own.
The freedom of speech issue is directly related to what I call authoritarian groupthink, particularly when it comes to COVID, but also a wider range of issues, really. And that stems from the idea that it can be somehow dangerous to allow freedom of speech, because it may include spreading dangerous, quotes, misinformation. But of course, we don't know what is misinformation unless we examine it in a court of law. You know, one person's truth is another person's misinformation. So unless we allow people to speak freely, and Western societies have, for at least a couple of hundred years, thrived on the free exchange of ideas and information, and so that, you know, people, give people the benefit of the doubt in terms of their ability to weigh information as well as their own personal experience, their intuition, and make form an opinion and a judgment accordingly. We're now moving to something where that is considered dangerous, where perhaps it's not wise to let people make up their own minds. I mean, certainly in terms of the propaganda and brainwashing, the link that Giuseppe shared there, that woman calling for people with religious exemptions, mind, not simply old-fashioned refuseniks like myself, but people with religious exemptions should be shot and killed. Now, if anything demonstrated the degree of mind control under which people are at the moment, that's it. But that's what happens when you don't allow the free exchange of information and ideas, is that people, end up in a very, very dark tunnel like that and come to that kind of, I mean, she's obviously a uniquely sort of stupid and unpleasant individual, but, tyranny comes disguised as the common good, doesn't it? And this is what we're hearing, you know. All this nonsense about, get vaccinated to protect others. Where did this nonsense come from? Utter rubbish. And yet, because people like ourselves are deprived of access to the mainstream media, we're not able to challenge these falsehoods at source. And so they get repeated. And before long, the man in the street believes them to be true.
Well said.
The power of television as an instrument of brainwashing and propaganda is certainly unprecedented. And unfortunately, modern technology can be used for good or for bad. In this instance, being used to promote a despicable evil upon humanity, where the genocidal globalists appear to have the intention of reducing the world's population from roughly 8 billion today to only 500 million, according to the Georgia Guidestones. Giuseppe, this is just so stunning that it's taking place unabated, and the Biden administration is doing everything it can to promote it. Thank God the court system is ruling, the Fifth Circuit, the Sixth Circuit. We now have another judge denying his mandates. Maybe, is it possible, in your judgment, that the courts might actually be able to save the nation and even potentially the world from this miserable future that we foresee so clearly?
Well, Probably not, Jim, because it's going to continue to go up the judicial ladder to the completely corrupt Supreme Court of the United States, which has four internationalist elves on it. And the Chief Justice Roberts is a closeted homosexual and a pederast who is controlled completely by the Rothschild globalist cabal. And so here's an example. He wrote an opinion against Obamacare as a tax. And then they're like, Roberts, remember, we have these pictures of you with a 12-year-old boy, and you do want to adopt these children, don't you, and live your phony life as a heterosexual. So I think maybe you better rewrite that opinion. And guess what? The cowardice marionette of the globalists did just that, and suddenly Obamacare was legal as a tax. So, Jim, it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and those traitors are going to side on the globalist side.
Oh, God, Giuseppe, I hope to hell you're wrong, but of course I'm apprehensive you got it exactly right. And I have no doubt Scorpio, were he here with us, would join you with, you know, vigor, because the Supreme Court has proven itself to be incompetent in so many ways, or to put it more appropriately, corrupt.
Yep.
When it refused to take the Texas case in relation to contesting the election of 2020, it was a perfectly designed lawsuit involving the theft of the election in four key battleground states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I was so enthusiastic when it was submitted. And then for the court to decline to review it on Roberts' judgment that the court did not have jurisdiction was absurd. The court exists to deal with disputes between the cases, between the states, as original court of jurisdiction. In other words, while other matters have to go through procedural of circuit or district courts and state appellate courts and even state Supreme Courts, where my petition for a review of my Sandy Hook lawsuit sits dormant, apparently the Supreme Court being unwilling to rule that gross violations of protocol in relation to summary judgment by setting aside evidence of experts and the defendant's own right to his own defense seemed not to matter to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. You made me right. Just as they shrugged off the Texas lawsuit, they may do so with all of these suits involving the injunctions, the mandates, but good God, I hope you're wrong. I mean, I fear you are right, but I hope you are wrong.
Well, I hope I'm wrong. Well, Jim, we've got a couple callers and we're coming short on time. Should we take the first call?
Absolutely. I don't have the list here. Go for it.
Area code 518, are you there?
Yep. Hello.
Is this Bruce?
Nope, this is Joshua.
Oh, hey, Joshua. Tell us where you're calling from and what's your question or comment?
New York. Well, my thing is Fox News. Did you guys hear about the tree they got, the Christmas tree? Got someone lit it on fire?
What are you talking about, Joshua?
The one in front of New York, the Fox News business in front of New York. I mean, at New York or whatever, in front of their building, their Christmas tree, somebody lit it on fire.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, you mean Rockefeller?
Yeah, it happened, I guess, last night. Yeah, it happened last night or this morning or whatever. Yep, and so either they did it themselves, trying to make themselves look like they're being attacked or something, or someone really did it. Either way, though, Lynn Wood is coming back after Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Fox News, and others because they sat there and slandered him in that, and they never called him, even Charlie Kirk, I guess, of the the Turning Point USA thing. Because during this whole Kyle Rittenhouse interview with Tucker Carlson, nobody came and asked Linwood for his opinion, and he's got all the information to prove that what they were saying wasn't true. So he's going to sue them and that. And Fox News is exactly like CNN and MSNBC. I mean, they did exactly what they just did. So I think Fox News, and they're completely gone and done with.
So, Jim, Mitchell, the producer extraordinaire, just posted in the chat that it was in front of the Fox News headquarters. Someone torched their Christmas tree, and then Zero Head makes the joke, does anybody check in Chris Cuomo's alibi?
That's good. I like it. Yeah, I looked up the story and I see the tree on fire. Police say the 49-year-old suspect, he looks, I don't know, he's an immigrant. This guy, I mean, looks, I don't know, might be Hispanic or cross between Mexican, Guatemala. He's an odd-looking guy. The 49-year-old suspect climbed up the metal superstructure. The tree is an artificial sculpture shaped to look like a tree, lit papers he brought with him. I'm very puzzled about this Lynn Wood thing. I can understand why he's doing it. I mean, Tucker interviewed Kyle Rittenhouse, who, of course, knew up close and personal how his attorneys had handled his case. He felt they let him. Oh, I'm watching the tree burn. Wow, wow, wow. And, is that why Lynn is suing them? Could you elaborate on the rationale Lynn Wood has for suing them? This is going to be a very explosive case, it seems to me. Lynn Wood has, I thought in the past, done good things by exposing, for example, that Chief Justice Roberts is a pedophile who had adopted, apparently illegally, two young sons from the UK, from Scotland or Ireland or Wales, and the tree is going up in flames. Giuseppe, your thoughts about, I think Lynn Wood, and, I think he's got to do it to preserve his reputation, but I'm not at all certain he's going to prevail.
You know, this whole Lynn Wood thing, even before that, dates to the Kyle Rittenhouse coming out and saying that Lynn Wood established GoFundMe and stole most of the money. And so someone is not on the up and up and is trying to slander someone who is. It's just unclear who is the fox in the hen house and who is telling the truth.
No, wait. Lynn Wood has actual evidence he's been posting online. For instance, phone calls that he's had with people like Flynn and that, but also, he's also got information from the Fight Back Foundation or whatever that you're talking about. That's what it was, the Fight Back. And he's got, like, all the records and stuff, and that's why he's saying, like, this is why he's going to sue, because he has the information that proves that what they were saying was false, and no one came to him. You know, it was a clear assassination attempt, a character assassination attempt.
Wow.
Yeah, he said
that he cut all ties with General Flynn and General Flynn,
right, that's what he's saying.
Wow. Well, Jim, we've got a second caller named Nathan, I believe, calling from New Mexico. Nathan, are you there?
Nathan.
Are you there, Nathan? Well,
I'm calling from New Mexico. Hello?
But I'm hello. Nathan, go ahead.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead, sir. What's your name?
Yeah. Oh, I go by Nazer.
Nazer. Go ahead.
Hey, first of all, I want to say thank you to Jim and Giuseppe. Great job. Great. Really impressed. But my question really is for Jim. It's a story. Back October 9th, I had an emergency treatment in the hospital for a hernia that had got really bad. It had wrapped around my intestines. And so I go in, and the first thing they do is stick the two swabs up my nose for, the callback test, which tested negative. The following Friday, I went to Las Vegas to go see a show with, one of my favorite guys. But anyways, I got really, really intensely sick. Like I was getting infected from either the operation. They had to open me up from the outside because I got so bad. And I felt like I was like couldn't breathe or anything. So I hurried up back to New Mexico, where the first thing they told me is that I had two blood clots, one in each lung. And here I had the two sticks put up my nose. I've been perfectly healthy, no clots, no way.
Yep.
Anyways, so my question is, so they then said, they released me and said they made a mistake. I didn't have pneumonia, they thought I did, and they sent me home in the morning. That night, I got intensely sick again. I went back to the hospital where they now told me they had to transfer me to another hospital because I was having heart issues and I couldn't breathe. I had all sorts of lung problems. And I spent a week in the hospital. Only about last week I actually recovered. You know, I mean, I haven't checked my email since the trip to Las Vegas. But what I'm getting at is, have you heard of that where you get blood clots from the test jabs? Now, they both stick two at the same time, two of the cotton swabs up my nose. And so my question to Jim, have you heard of that type of thing where you get blood clots?
Giuseppe's the right guy to answer your question, but I suspect, I mean, you were somehow affected by a material on the swab itself, which is entirely possible, or somehow were given the jab. I mean, the effects you're talking about are typical of those who have been jabbed. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
There are literally, at this point, thousands of documented cases of people getting sick after that nasal rape. So they definitely dosed you with something. That is, you got the bioweapon, and sorry to say. I mean, that's really messed up.
Hospitals, the killing zones. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely horrific how the AMA, the CDC, the FDA, they've all folded. I'm shocked and dismayed because the grip here is so massive. It's just absolutely stunning what's happened to our medical system, which has turned into something akin to a cult of death.
Right.
In Joy Reid's language, as she accuses those who are, you know, seeking to set the record straight of being participants in attempts at mass murder. The opposite is the case.
Well, Jim, we're coming to the end of the show. I want to wind it up, and thank you, Basil.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and got you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.